This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, welcome along to a new week here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one tennis betting show and YouTube show and podcast. With me, your host, Nigel Seeley. Joining me is a rather unwell, again, believe it or not. He's unwell again. It's our senior ATP Tour handicapper, Sean Calvert. Sean,
more senior, to be honest. I feel very senior at the minute.
What on earth's the problem now? Last time we spoke, which seems like an eternity ago, you had hyperthermia. Now what's happened?
Just random viruses. I've never known anything like this since Lagan was at nursery. Anyone with little kids will probably know that they bring all sorts back, don't they, from nursery. At one stage, I was just having a cold or a flu or a cough or something constantly for about 2 or 3 years, but that was a while ago. But this year, I don't know, it's either way, it's because it's just been freezing cold and wet and damp. There's a lot more virus. It's not just me. Everyone you see in the streets coughing and spluttering. It's horrible. This year has been horrible.
I'm not.
In terms of, well, you're lucky. You haven't got kids. That's the problem. If you're surrounded by kids and other people's kids, they're like little virus pots. There's all sorts going on there. You got to have a strong immune system, and obviously mine was somewhat impaired by the shambolic situation in Madrid. But I'm here. I don't know how long I can talk for, but I can try.
Well, I mean, this is a regular occurrence. So I've never known anyone have more illnesses than
I didn't have any last year, did I? Or the year before?
Unbelievable!
This year's been incredible. It doesn't help that I'm surrounded by all sorts. Legan's had a cough for about 6 weeks, probably. That hasn't gone. Natasha came back from Paris with some other rancid cough bug. So I'm getting it from all sides. That's the problem. The good old days when I was out here in this office on my own, not harassed by different people bringing their germs in from all over the place. But I'm too exposed. That's the problem. I need to de-expose myself.
Lock yourself up in the cabin there, in the port cabin. Keep yourself at the office. Keep yourself away. Close doors.
Can't, though, can I? As soon as I get in the house, that's it. I'm exposed.
Just sleep in there. Take a sleep bag. The only thing I've got is got a little bit of hay fever. A little bit of hay fever today. I mean, the sun's shining for the first time.
It's a nice day.
This feels like the first time in this year. Well, I've just been in the garden. It's the first time this garden. I've been in the garden.
This weather's been horrible. I know we're British and people, you British moan about the weather. Yeah, it's been rank. I've been to Madrid and it's been just as bad. And it wasn't great in Indian Wells either, by the way. But there we are.
You haven't had much luck.
I haven't. Last year was fine. The year before was fine. This year, I think I'm just not getting much luck this year, unfortunately.
We are getting a few luck on the winners. We're plus 5.01 units on the show so far this year. So we are after a tricky little start. We're hitting a bit of form with some real crucial tennis tournaments coming up. The countdown to the French Open continues this week. And I don't like these midweek starts. I find it impossible the draw is terrible. I just find it really hard to find a schedule to do these podcasts.
It's difficult because obviously here we got a bank holiday as well yesterday, didn't we? Which was a Monday. So today kind of felt like a Monday, which sort of meant we should have done the show yesterday, day before. And now we're doing it on Tuesday. It is confusing. It just gets you out of your rhythm, doesn't it? If you're used to doing, particularly you with the other shows that you do, you've got like this Sunday, this Friday, this, you know. It's complicated. I try and keep on top of it as best I can, but I'm just doing what I can, really.
You've got to keep busy though. You're not busy, your mind's not going. You're led astray. There's various different things to do which you're led astray. So I like to keep very, very busy. That's quite
well.
Nice.
You certainly do that.
Okay, let's have a look at this week's tournament. It's the Italian Masters over in Rome, an event that both myself and Sean were at last year. We're not going this year.
And
it did rain. It was terrible. Any particular reason why you didn't fancy it this year, Sean? Any reason?
The reason is I wanted to go to Madrid because I'd never been to Madrid.
Right.
So I went to Madrid, hated it. And I wish I was in Rome because the weather is it looks all right for Rome, doesn't it? This next sort of 10 days or so.
Well, there has been a bit of rain around this morning.
It's not set to be a rainy 10 days, I don't think. It's said to be about sort of 25 degrees. Yeah, the odd thunderstorm here and there, but not that cold front from Greenland that I got in Madrid. So nice tournament. I would go again to Rome. I like the city as well. I like the tournament. So yeah, I just wanted to do something different this year. Didn't really work out, but there you go.
It is a nice tournament. Unfortunately, two of the world's biggest names, talking about injuries, and these two have got more injuries than you at the moment. Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz. They're not going to be competing this week over in Rome, which is a huge disaster for the tournament. Obviously, Sinner, the local player, the Italian, who coming there as a major winner, would have an absolutely, it would be very hard to beat here with the support he's going to get. And the Italian players get an incredible support here wherever they go. So that means the tournament is wide open. We're going to come on to the draw in a little while. We're going to come on to the odds with Bet Rivers. But I suppose the best thing to start here, Sean, you mentioned it earlier, it's going to be quite a nice week in terms of the weather. There is a bit of thunderstorms around. The weather this morning on Tuesday, we've already had a rain delay this morning. So there is a couple of showers around. Look at the previous winners here. You look at it. I mean, there are some players here. It's been dominated by Novak Djokovic and Nadal, really, since 2005 to 2023. Either one of those has been in the final. So the last year would be the match for the final between Medvedev and Room. It was the first time in 19 years where either Djokovic or Nadal hasn't featured. But it's, you know, we come back from Madrid where it's quite quick, altitude, quicker surface. Are we going back now towards the more traditional sort of European clay?
Yeah, it's quite quick, Rome-ish, for a clay event. Not as quick as Madrid, obviously, because the altitude. Quicker, I would say, than Monte Carlo and Barcelona. It normally averages 77% holds, 69.4% first serve points won. That puts it a decent way quicker than Monte Carlo and Barcelona, but just a little bit slower than Madrid, obviously, because no altitude. 36% of the matches feature a tiebreak. Quite a strong trend to the unders as well. Under 22.5 games, that's cash 57% of the time in the last five editions. Not a fabulous one for underdog winners either. 29, most Masters series aren't. 29% on average, best round being round one at 33%. But as ever with a clay event, you know, you can sort of tee it up however you like, but ultimately it depends on the weather. I'd suggest looking at the forecast, if that's correct, I'd say it would be playing reasonably quick, certainly quicker than the Monte Carlos and the Barcelonas that we've seen in weeks gone by.
Lewis said there is no Sinner, no Alcaraz in the draw, which means Novak Djokovic is the number one seed and the tournament favourite. He has won this event six times. Nadal's won it 10 times. They've dominated it. Last year, the final was between Medvedev and Rune, and Medvedev is the defending champion, which is quite a crazy thing to suggest on clay. Let's have a look at the draw. And these are the top eight seeds and how they're scheduled to play. Usually as a Masters event or the 1000 events, the top 32 seeds get a bye through to round two. So the matches we'll be talking about today will be the first round matches with the winner playing one of the big seeds. And if we go into seedings, the top eight, the top half of the draw, we'll see Novak Djokovic play Casper Ruud. Alexander Zverev, a former winner here, is now upgraded to the number three seed. He will play Dimitrov, and that will be the top half of the draw. Obviously, some players in or around them that will have something to say about that. In the bottom half of the draw, we see Stefanos Tsitsipas, the Greek, who's obviously won in Monte Carlo. He will play Andrei Rublev, the recent winner in Madrid in the quarterfinals, if it goes to the seedings. And Hercash will play Medvedev. Q4 looked weak, very weak. You know, Hercash and Medvedev in that section. We've got Nadal in that section as well. So there's Nadal could potentially get through there. Tsitsipas as well in the bottom half and Rublev. And in the top half, obviously, the market is dominated by Novak Djokovic. These are the current odds with Bet Rivers to win the Rome Masters. Novak Djokovic is the favourite at plus 180. Medvedev is the defending champion. He's $9 to defend his title. Alexander Zverev, a former winner here, as I said, what year was he winning it? 2018, I think it was. And he won it. He's won it previously. He's $9. Nadal, 10-1. We saw sort of single figure prices about him in Madrid. He's got a long way to go, but he's now the fourth favourite with Sinner and Alcaraz not participating. Stefanos Tsitsipas, 10-1. Obviously, already won a 1000 event on clay. Casper Ruud, 11. Rublev, 14. Holger Rune, 18. Dimitrov, 30. Then we go into Demior, 40, Taylor Fritz, 40, Hercash, 40, Berrettini, 50. I missed Struff out at 30-1. Obviously, give us a bit of a run for our money last time in Madrid. Should have beaten Alcaraz.
Should have done.
Not getting the big prices there. We're getting 30-1 this time around. Berrettini, can he sort of get his season going again with a win in Italy? He's 50, Khachanov, 50, and Cam Norrie, 50. If we look at the draw, Sean, I think it's fair to say, obviously, there's the two players missing have made it
very favourable for Novak Djokovic, but a plus 180. I know he's got a great record here, but the way he's playing and the way he's picking and choosing his tournaments, I it's certainly not for me at that kind of price.
No, I couldn't be going with that. Just quickly on the trends, the number one seed's only won this title four times in the last 14 editions. It is usually won by one of the top six or seven in the betting, and only one player from the qualifying draw has made it past the quarterfinals in the last 20 years. That was Luca Poi in 2016. But just looking at the draw, I mean, I was really keen on backing someone in the bottom half, but I can't find someone to actually fit the bill.
The fourth quarter.
I mean,
the quarter, isn't it? I mean, that
all of them. I mean, you got Tsitsipas, who's you'll know better than me about this. He's going to be in some sort of funk now, isn't he? He's just split up Badosa. Right,
here. He'd be full of the joys of spring, I'm sure.
Think so?
I think it'll be positive.
Okay, you know much more about this than I do.
Well, I just think that... I don't know the relationship between Stefanos Tsitsipas and Badosa.
You know more than I do.
But, well, I mean, both of them had a massive slump of form, right? Because they were involved in a relationship and it didn't work, the media attention. Now, if the women's matches today, Paula Badosa, literally 20 minutes ago, had just beaten Mira Andreeva. Yeah. Now, Mira Andreeva is, if you're not following women's tennis, she's a 16 or 17-year-old kid. I think she might just turn 17. But she's going to be a future world number one. She's going to be a Grand Slam champion. She's full favourite to win the French Open. Now, Badosa has just beaten her in straight sets and played her best tennis of the year. Now, if you use that as an indicator, it may suggest that the relationship may be questionable. Maybe that it could be a PR stunt. Maybe it could be for Instagram likes or whatever, the relationship. And I think it will make him a better player. I'm sure his dad will be pleased. His dad didn't look very happy when she was in the players.
He never looks happy, does he?
No, he makes you he makes you look happy. That's
he's got reasons. He's got reasons to look a lot happier than me. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, but anyway, I think it'll be a positive for him. So I think
if you think that, then you would have to put Tsitsipas quite high on your shortlist because the rest of them look highly questionable. Rublev said he was dead throughout the entirety of Madrid. He's been hanging around with me too long. Viruses. Yep. He said he barely slept all week. Still managed to win the tournament, by the way. So it can't have been that bad. But, you know, if what he says is true, then he's highly unlikely to have the energy to go again this week. Medvedev's injured, so who knows how fit he's going to be. Rune is a possible option there. He's one that I consider, but 20-1. I'd want bigger than that based on what he's achieved or not achieved in recent times. I know he made the final last year. A repeat of that form, I could see he could have his backers. Hercash, I can't see it in these conditions. Nadal, no, not for me. I mean, this is just a retirement tour, isn't it, for Nadal? He's going to these tournaments and, you know, he's trying his best and whatever, and he'll win a couple of rounds, but very, very difficult to see him having the physicality to win a tournament in his current condition. So Tsitsipas, potentially, if you're going with Nigel's theory that he's come out of this supposed breakup in fine fettle, then he's probably the one you'd want to be on in the bottom half. But I like a couple in the top half.
Yeah, I quite like Tsitsipas. I really want to find someone in that Q4. Q4 to me looks like, but I just can't make a case for any of them.
Yeah, no, neither can I. I mean, Rune would be the obvious one, but you're kind of trusting that he's found some form, which we haven't seen from him for quite some time.
Okay, in the top half, as I said, it's dominated by Novak Djokovic. He's a short price favourite to win it. He's going to be a short price favourite, probably minus money, actually, to make the semi-finals at the very least. Make the final at the very least. Looking around this draw, you've mentioned a couple of players in the shows previous to this. You know, we were talking about Serendula as potentially a player that we could be looking at a big price to win the French Open. We're going to give you some French Open updates. And remember, the French Open starts in just 3 weeks from now. Serendula is in that top of the draw. He's a potential opponent for Novak Djokovic. Before he gets to Novak Djokovic, he's got to run into his old adversary, Karin Khachanov, who he seems to be drawn in every single tournament. But he could be a contender in the bottom half and the top half of the draw. We've also got Casper Ruud as well, the nearly man. He's playing well at the moment, Ruud, and getting to get deep in tournaments and winning the low ones that you expect him to win. Well, is it? He's had a good start, I think, to the clay court season, sort of getting himself warmed up. You've got Navarro as well. They're obviously another clay court player as well. Musetti, who I looked at as a potential player to go well, and a player I always like, and with the home support as well, I think the Italians will do very, very well. So what's your thinking in that top half of the draw, Sean?
Yeah, Serendolo is one of them, 80-1 each way with Bet Rivers. I think that's decent. I mean, the level he played against Zverev last week was unbelievable. It was absolutely fabulous, flawless tennis. And I've never said that about Cyrandola before. Normally he has dips and his mind goes wandering. And Zverev didn't play bad. Zverev played really, really well. The best I've seen Zverev hitting the ball for a long time. And he just couldn't get past Cyrandola. He was like a brick wall. And he was flawless, as I said. A repeat of anything like that sort of form would give Cyrandola a decent chance. I know he's got a tough section, but you know, Djokovic hasn't won a tournament this year, as far as I remember. He hasn't played that many. We're just coming in here assuming that he's going to find the form of previous years in Rome, which he might do. There again, he might not. You know, Cyrandola wouldn't be an easy out. Casper Ruud wouldn't be an easy out. Ruud's obviously beat him already in Monte Carlo. Ruud came into the thinking. I just thought that if he does beat Djokovic, it'll probably be another really tough one like Monte Carlo. And then, you know, what's he got left for the match, the semi-final after that?
The other thing, Sean, you've got to look at the odds. I mean, Casper Ruud is 11-1, Cyrandola 80-1. Eight times the price. I mean, I think that's a huge, huge differential to make it a value play.
The talent he's got, Cyrandola, I mean, you see, if you've seen him up close, hitting and stuff, like I've seen him many times, you know, it's a thing of beauty. It really is. But there are times when it can be absolutely awful. The radar will go and the back fence will start getting peppered. But, he didn't do that at all against Zverev. Disappointing after against Fritz. He should probably have won that match against Fritz, but again, didn't show his best form. But the obvious ones for me are Ruud, as you said, and Cyrandola. It's difficult to make much of a case for anybody else in that section. But the one I'm going with is Zverev again. I'm sticking with Zverev, who he had last week in Madrid, which I still think was a good bet. Not often I stick with the same player, but he was unlucky to run into a Cyrandola that was absolutely on fire. He was playing great, Zverev. And this second section, Q2, it doesn't look that difficult, does it? And I know Navone's in great form, just won the challenger in Cagliari, but you would think he'd be overpowered by Zverev. And you've got the likes of Griekspoor, Bublik, Fritz, Korda, Massetti in and out, Dimitrov. Zverev's got a great record against. If you're Zverev, you should really be making the semifinals from that quarter. And the theory, if it's Djokovic against Ruud or maybe Cyrandola against Ruud, that's going to be a very, very tough semifinal. And it may well be the case that Zverev gets into a good situation by playing a player that's maybe a little bit fatigued or coming off a really, really good win by beating a Djokovic. You know, you never like to back players the next day after they've beaten the world number one. So I think it's a good opportunity for Zverev. It's a 75% win rate here in Rome. It's 7.1 and return points. One total here is, where is it? 105 and a hold break total of 109. Those are slightly better stats than Casper Ruud. So that's what's kind of edged me towards Zverev rather than Ruud. And I feel like Zverev's got a slightly easier draw.
Yep. And he's a previous winner. He has won.
He is 2017, before. I think it was.
2017, he won the tournament here. So I think Zana Zverev, very rare for Sean to trust people again week after losing money. I think that's the first time ever that I've heard you do that.
I might have done it once or twice.
Yeah, you don't usually like people who've lost you money the week before.
I don't.
Give up on them very easily.
I do, but generally in a Masters, you know, it's a very short number of people who can win it. Even Madrid last week, when everybody was sick and injured and ill and dying, it was still won by one of the top seven seeds. I know it was number seven, Rublev, but so that the trend remained. You know, you don't. I mean, Felix, what an unbelievably lucky run that was for him to get to the final. You know, that's not going to happen to him again. It's generally one of these top six or seven that wins it. That's why I'm sticking with Zverev. Generally speaking, I wouldn't, on, you know, on 250, I wouldn't generally back the same player the next week. You know, generally very different conditions, very different tournament. But these Masters series are generally won by the top sort of five, six in the market.
I'm going to call it Zverev Tsitsipas final. That's the final.
Happy with that, yeah.
Yep, and that's what I think.
Unless Tsitsipas was, you know, you come out of a relationship, one person.
He's only been it now.
Generally, comes out of it better than the other one. It's very rare they both go, yeah, that wasn't working. Yeah.
Unless it's a PR stunt. They haven't been married for 50, 20 years and had two kids and
tends to come out better than the other one. And from what I've seen today, you know, that person could be Badosa. You know what Tsitsipas is like? He gets into funks very
to be
easily.
Be fair, he's not exactly, he's a good looking lad. He's going to have his fair share I'm of sure offers in Rome this weekend. Like, he's not going to be lonely
for
too long.
He's quite sensitive,
is he?
Though. He's a deep thinker. He's a sensitive boy. I could see this going wrong for him.
Well, we'll see what happens, but I think it's going to have a good thing for him. I think Tsitsipas, they'll still be friends. The same one said they're friends. They're lifelong friends.
To be honest, now that I've stopped talking about it, I could care less about
exactly.
To be honest with you.
I don't care. We're looking for the value, and Zverev is our pick at 9-1 with Bet Rivers. Will that be a win only, or are we going each way?
I'll just take the win at that price. Yeah. I mean, potentially trade in the final if he's a decent favorite or something. We'll see. And take the each way in Cerundolo at 80-1 if he can replicate that form from last week, then you could have a decent run for your money there.
So 9-1 Zverev is a win only pick. 80-1 Cerundolo, number 20 seed, who is scheduled to play Novak Djokovic in the last 16. He's got to get past Khachanov, a man who's he's run into many times this year, and usually comes second best, I'm afraid. But Cerundolo is our second pick at 80-1. Both of them in the top half of the draw. Question marks on the bottom half of the draw about many players, but we could get a shock finalist as well. Okay, let's move on to some matches. And we have four matches for tomorrow. Now, remember, the matches start pretty early. It's around about, I think it's about 6 o'clock Eastern time. I'll double check that in a minute, but I'm sure it's about 6 o'clock Eastern time when these matches, actually early than that, 4 o'clock Eastern time. So very, very early start. Remember,
4 a.m. Wow.
4 a.m. So you're going to get up nice and early. You'll get on this evening, head across to the BetRivers website. There's currently about 28 different markets on these matches, but I predict there'll probably be about 38 different markets by the time they start tomorrow. Remember, if you do have a bet and you bet on the BetRivers website, you can bet live and watch live. All these matches will be live streamed on the BetRivers app. Okay, let's move on to the first match we are going to discuss. It's Dominic Kopfer against Andrei Vavasori. Kopfer is quite a heavy favourite here. I'm quite surprised by these odds. Minus 186 for Kopfer. Vavasori is plus 148. The spread is 2.5, minus 120 for Kopfer, giving up was 2.5. Vavasori receiving 2.5 is plus 107. And the total here is 22.5, a rather high 22.5. I always like to get with the Italians in round one. Vavasori is obviously an Italian player. He's got a decent clay record this year, played 10 matches, won 5, lost 5. Kopfer's played 4 clay court matches this year and lost a lot. Lost in the first round at Estoril, lost the first round in Monte Carlo, first round in Munich, first round in Madrid, and he also lost in round 16 in Miami. And yet, he's minus 186.
Madness.
Exactly. Tell me why that is.
I'm just not convinced about Kopfer on clay. He's more of a hard court guy, quicker hard court. Facing the wild card, Vavasori, he's going to love this, Vavasori. He tends to play well against the better players. If he's got a better record on clay lately than Kopfer as well. Last 10 matches each of these two on clay, main level, goes back over a year. Kopfer, 30% win rate, service points won and return points won, total of 98 and a whole break total of 97. Vavasori, as you said, 50% win rate, a 99 service points won and return points won total and a 98 hold and break total. So he's got better statistics, better win rate on this surface than Kopfer. Vavasori won 2 of his last 4 matches against top 50 opponents as well. Beat Kecmanovic in 5 sets at the French Open. That's a very, very good win. As is also the win he had over Laszlo Djere in Buenos Aires. It's not easy beating Djere in those sort of conditions. Also took Carlos Alcaraz to a set 1 tiebreak in Buenos Aires. Made the quarterfinals there, obviously on the slowest clay as well. Actually, it's pretty slow there in Buenos Aires. As you said, Kopfer's not won a match this clay swing. You feel like Vavasori should see this as a great opportunity. I don't think he's ever played it before in the main draw, probably in the doubles, but singles, I think this is his first go. He's normally a strong starter. He's either won the opening set or gone to a tiebreak in 10 of his 18 main level matches, which is 55% or odds of 1.82. So the odds here that we're getting from Bet Rivers plus 128 about him winning set one, that looks good value to me. I feel like he's going to be pumped up for this. Kopfer, he's not keen on. I think he made the quarterfinals here randomly 1 year, Kopfer. But it might have been when it was a bit damper. You can't have Kopfer at that price. He might well grind it out and end up winning it 7-6 in the third or something, but you certainly couldn't be backing him on the money line at those odds. In play maybe later on, but I feel like Vavasori to win the opening set plus 128, I think that's good value.
Yeah, Vavasori, I like Vavasori on the money line, plus 148. A little bit better. I think you can't underestimate here in Rome, having been there last year, the support the Italians give their players. They're wild, aren't they? I mean, you can't get the outside courts when the Italians are playing. So this is going to be like
I remember last year, Fognini against, I forget who it was now. And they put him on the sunken one, Pietrangeli, which is a beautiful court, isn't it? You probably remember it.
Yep. All the sort of the ancient Roman,
all the busts around the outside and all that sort of stuff. It's a great setting for tennis. I couldn't get anywhere near it. I really couldn't. There was an attack. I think it was Trevor Sand was playing before him, Fognini. So basically, everyone piled in for the Trevor. That would be the busiest Trevor Sand match in history. It was rammed, and not one person gave up their seat between Trevor Sand leaving and Fognini coming on. It was intense. Mm. So yeah, there's not a lot to like about this price on Godfrey. He might well win that match, but it's not a great price.
Yeah, I don't think the factor the home crowd for, or actually while we've been on, Sean, literally while we've been on, the line has moved. Kopfer has gone to -148 from -186. Vavasori is +117 now from +148 on the money line. So that's a big, big move for Vavasori, which literally has moved while we've been.
Well, it's a rotten price. That's so let's have a look.
I mean, we might set one. Vavasori is now +108.
Fine. Well, it is what it is. I mean, I still think it's still better than the odds. The probability of him winning set one generally is, as I said, 55%. So you're still getting a bit of value there.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Vavasori start around about even money for this match. I think the money might continue even now down from +148 to +117. I think it's the wrong price, the wrong favourite. Italians will do very, very well in the first round. They'll be cheered on by a passionate support, and that will surely lift him in the Italian capital. Okay, the next match we are going to discuss looks a very difficult match to call, actually. If you look at the record between the two of them this year and you look at the world rankings, there's hardly anything to split the two of them. And Nuno Borges is a marginal favourite, -127, up against Pedro Martinez, the Spaniard. The spread here is 1.5. Borges giving up 1.5 is -105. Martinez receiving 1.5 is -122. And the total is one lower than the Vavasori match. He's 21.5, is over -124 and under -104. If we look at the head-to-head between the two, and they played once before, but it was a long, long time ago in a challenger in 2021, Borges won it. Borges played pretty well. He played very well in the Estoril in his home tournament. He outpicked Massetti. And Martinez isn't in the greatest of form. Got to the quarterfinals in Bucharest, lost to Barrère, and since then lost two matches in quite disappointing fashion. How do you see this one going?
I think he's the wrong favourite. I think Martinez should be favourite here.
It's probably because of that. The form he's shown coming into this match has probably looked a little bit.
Yeah, shitty. Last couple of matches maybe a little bit leggy, but you know, this is the Masters 1000. I think he'll be fine. Last 12 months on clay at main level, massively in favour of Martinez. Borges, 50% win rate and a service points one and return points one total of 98. A service hold and break total of 94. Martinez, 64% win rate. A service points one and return points one total of 103. So 5 points better. And a service hold and break total of 106. So that's what, 12 points better. That their serve stats are pretty similar, but Martinez is much, much better on return points won. He's broken serve 10% more often than Borges. So his return game is in much better order than that of Borges. I just think on the stats, you can't really make Borges favourite here. I think there's some value on Martinez at it was +102 when I looked at him earlier on. If he's underdog, then I think that's the wrong way around.
Yep, it's still the price. +102. Martinez is the underdog here. Borges is a -127 favorite. Head across to the Bet Rivers website. More markets will be added overnight. Remember, it's a 4 a.m. start. We don't know the order of play yet. Eastern time, 4 a.m. So you've got to get nice and early. Remember that if you do place the bets with Bet Rivers and you want to play a parlay, there is a net gains daily parlay boost. Score more value on your tennis parlay each day with the Bet Rivers net gains profit boost. Log in every day to claim your profit boost for a tennis parlay, then make your tennis parlay of at least three legs. Each leg, must have odds of -150 or longer. Depending on your loyalty level, you'll get a boost of at least 25% and as much as 50%. See the Bet Rivers app for more details and grab your parlay boost. So the parlay boost, lots of tennis action tomorrow on the men's and the women's circuits, well, obviously a women's tournament as well. And you can put him in for a nice parlay boost with Bet Rivers. Third match, we have Zhang up against Galan. Zhang is the underdog here, +108, despite holding a very higher ranking on the ATP Tour rankings. Galan is -136. Spread is 1.5, -117 for Zhang, receiving 1.5. Giving up 1.5 for Galan is -108. The total, again, rather high, 22.5. They've met once before in Houston. Very different clay, but it was a clay court, and Galan won 6-2, 6-3. Zhang has had a bit of a bad run at the moment on the clay. He hasn't won. He's won one match out of his four, and he's lost his last three matches coming into this event. Galan got to the semi-finals in Cagliari in Italy on the Challenger event. He got beat by Mazzetti in the semi-finals. He's shown a little bit of form, hence the reason why he's the favourite at minus 136.
Well, one of them was a walkover, wasn't it? In Cagliari, he got a walkover from Fuchsovich. He beat Albot and Eubanks. Not so sure that would go down as fabulous form, but talking of form, Zhang needs to find his form fast. You know, he's not won back-to-back matches in any of his last eight tournaments. Played great on the clay swing last year, did Zhang, but struggling this time around. But he still has better stats than Galan does at main level on this surface. Last 12 months on clay at main level, Zhang, much better win rate, 47% compared to 33% for Galan. Service points won in return, points won total 98, Galan 96. And the service hold and break total, 98 again for Zhang, just 91 for Galan. As you said, he made the semis at Cagliari last week, but he didn't really beat a great deal. And he's not won back-to-back matches on the main tour since Kitzbühel last summer, Galan. So very, very up and down. This is a lean, but I think if you're betting the money line in this match, I think Zhang is the value, round about even money. You can't have Galan at odds on, given his statistics.
A lean for Zhang at plus 108. He has got some good form previously on clay, and he's got to get that back or he's going to slip down the rankings very, very quickly. Currently just outside the top 50, and he could drop outside the top 100 if he doesn't get going very quickly. Our final match on the betting looks the most difficult one to call. It's another Italian in action. It's Lorenzo Sonego against Yuzhan Lajovic. It's minus 112, both these players, each of them minus 112. You pay your money, you take your choice. Which one do you want to go with? I'm not going to talk about the spread because it's a pick and match. And the total here is 22.5 with over minus 124 and under minus 104. Sonego, again, we spoke about Italian players, will have some support here, but he's up against a player, Lajovic, who's got is very decent on the clay. If you look at the head-to-head, though, it's overwhelmingly in favour of Sonego. He leads 3-1 on the head-to-heads. There was few of them, though, a long time ago, back in 2020 and 2019. The most recent meeting was in Stockholm last year, which Sonego won in three sets, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4. How do you see this one? The money actually in the sort of the hour or so when before recording here has come for Lajovic.
Okay, well, I'm going with Sonego, so...
Nice.
He's a tough guy to call, isn't he, Sonego? He's one of the toughest guys on tour, I think, to get right, but this looks a good matchup for him at a tournament that he's gone really well at before. Sonego, Lajovic has struggled here. He's never produced his best tennis at the Rome Masters. I suspect that's because he tends to like a slightly quicker, like a Madrid type clay, where he can really get that kick serve working. He hasn't been able to do that in Rio for whatever reason. The head to head, as you said, 3-1 to Sonego. You would expect Sonego to win on indoor hard, given his bigger serve. But he also beat Lajovic on slow clay in Rio. The service points won and return points won totals. Those four meetings are absolutely dead level, 100 each, which probably explains the odds. But the big difference, and perhaps the surprising difference, is that Sonego wins 8% more second serve points in this matchup than Lajovic does. You would think, given Sonego's bigger serve, that would be the thing that's helped him out, but not necessarily so. The one match that Lajovic did win, by the way, was played on a very, very windy day. So maybe there's a slight excuse for Sonego there. But the stats at this tournament, as I said, Lajovic is only 2-5 win-loss here. His service points won and return points won total here is 95, and his service hold and break total is just 83. So he's done nothing at the Rome Masters. Sonego, 8-7 win-loss. I think he made the semi-finals here a couple of years ago, Sonego. His service points won and return points won total is 99, and his service hold and break total here is 100. So much, much better stats at this tournament. He'll obviously get the crowd support. There's enough in it, I think, just to lean towards Sonego. I'm not keen on making him an official pick because he can be very, very untrustworthy. But his backhand has held up surprisingly well in this matchup against Lajovic before, including on the clay. So if I was betting in this match, I would be going with Sonego at these odds.
So that's a lean. So our official picks on the matches for tomorrow in Rome are?
Yeah, Martinez plus 102, Bet Rivers to beat Borges, and you'll have the odds on this one. Vavasori to win set one. Did you say plus 102?
It's plus 108 now.
+108. Yeah, Vavasori to win set one at that price then against Kopfer.
Yeah, and I've got him for, well, it won't be official pick, but I quite like Vavasori to win the match, +117 on the money line. It was +148, and I think that will probably get even lower before the matches start. Remember, 4 a.m. Eastern start, some of the first matches, and then go on to 6 a.m. Eastern start. Remember the Parlay Boost, daily Parlay Boost with Bet Rivers, and also remember to subscribe to Betting Weekly Studios on YouTube. Download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, and preferred podcast provider. And also follow us on our socials at Because We Win on Instagram and Twitter, where there's a lot more exclusive content on Instagram. Now, before we go, 3 weeks away now is the second major of the year, the French Open, over in Roland Garros in Paris. The market has been thrown into disarray again with Alcaraz, and we have had obviously Sinner now, which means that Novak Djokovic is now installed as the favourite. Hang on a minute. I'm looking at the wrong events. Excuse me one second. I am looking at the Rome Masters rather than... Alcaraz is still the favourite, sorry, at $2. Novak Djokovic is +275. Yannick Sinner is 4. A move for Casper Ruud down to 8. Nadal is 9-1 to win the French Open. Tsitsipas now 12. We highlighted him a few weeks ago at 25-1. Rublev is down to 13-1. Holger Rune 20-1. Now, this Alcaraz injury, this arm injury he's got, sounds quite serious, you know. It doesn't sound good at all for Alcaraz. He's still the bookie's favourite, Bet Rivers, here to win this French Open, but it doesn't sound good at all, you know.
No, that's why I took him on in Madrid. It didn't look good at all. The video that we saw in, I think it was Monte Carlo, when he tried to convince everyone that he was playing despite having a clearly incapacitated right arm, still had the sleeve on it again in Madrid. It was annoying for me that Struff didn't beat him, lost in the final set tiebreak. That was kind of frustrating because Alcaraz did not look himself, did he? I don't think he can trust the forehand. I think the serve has been impacted as well. Unless that arm makes a fairly drastic improvement in the next sort of week, 10 days or whatever, you'd be very worried about backing him at that sort of price to win the French Open. Sinner, I've said all along, I don't think has the body to win the French Open yet. He's proving me right all the time, isn't he, with his constant injuries that he picks up. We've said this many times, haven't we? We said that the market leaders, they're shaky. You know, Djokovic, not convinced that he's got the physicality anymore to win a French Open. But that being said, I don't think I could back Ruud at 9-1 or Rublev at 13-1.
It's anyone's. You could get, but even if you look at the outsiders, it's very hard to make a case for it. Serundulu 100-1 now. He was 150-1 when you mentioned him, but yeah, does look someone at that bottom who could do well. But when
someone could catch fire. I mean, it could be an old star. Do you remember the French Opens before Nadal? There was all sorts winning then, wasn't there? There were people that you barely even heard of, you know, Martin Verkerk coming in and, you know, getting to the final, this sort of stuff. And then Nadal took over, and we've got used to basically Nadal pretty much all the time, or Djokovic, winning it. And now that mantle is sort of been passed on to Sinner and Alcaraz. So wouldn't it be great to have an old school French Open where, you know, you get 2 25-1, 30-1, 60-1 shots in the final. That would be great.
Wide open.
Market leaders, as we've been saying for the last sort of several weeks, you can't really back any of them with confidence, can you?
Well, the top five in the betting: Alcaraz, Djokovic, Sinner, Ruud, Nadal. I mean, Nadal 9-1.
With all due respect, he's not winning this. He's not winning the French Open, unless something truly remarkable happens. I suppose you would say, out of all them, Djokovic is the only one that's not obviously injured. that's about the best you can say. But as I said, I'm not convinced that he's got quite the legs and the physicality to win this French Open. A lot will depend on the weather as well. If it's if it's kind of slow and a bit sort of damp, you know, that'll make it even harder. So it's a tricky puzzle to solve at the minute, and not somewhere I'd really want to be putting too much of my hard-earned money, to be honest.
Yeah, we've got 3 weeks to go until the French Open starts in Paris, and we will have you covered here on Betting Weekly Studios. Sean will be with me later on in the week. We'll probably come back. What day is it? Tuesday? It's probably Thursday. We'll look at some matches on Thursday and maybe try to catch one in before the end of the week as well. Hopefully get you 3 podcasts this week. What do you got planned for the rest of the week? You've got to recover. Now you've got to get over this cold.
I'm going to try and convalesce, yeah. I'm going to Alicante at the weekend, so hopefully I can just sort of sit there and just Chill.
Oh, he's off to Spain to recuperate. And what am I doing this week? I'm nothing really this week. Going to the horse racing on Saturday. Going a bit of horse racing. The Derby trials over at Lingfield. We're going there. And then I've got big, busy week of soccer action as well. So lots of stuff going on. And lots of stuff going on here on Betting Weekly Studios. We have the Champions League semi-finals. There's a show on tonight's match between Borussia Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain. Tomorrow, obviously, we've got Real Madrid against Bayern Munich in a huge, huge match. And then the countdown to the end of the Premier League season will be, and the leagues across Europe will be coming to a conclusion, and you'll be able to be across all the best bets here on Betting Weekly Studio. So make sure you subscribe. Sean, thanks very much for your time. Take care. Hopefully you can get over your illness, and we'll see you again very shortly in a couple of days, hopefully, give you some more picks and more winners here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. Take care.